The Marine and the Hippie is a weekly conversation about current events aimed at presenting alternative viewpoints while looking for common ground. We are the Marine and the Hippie.
Welcome to the Marine and the Hippie, Season 2, Dialogue 14, The Manifestation of the Eclipse. Doc and I, pre-show, we're talking about astrology and horoscopes and how things are aligned and how stars are aligned and the tides and such and how they affect our lives. And a lot of people would say that that is absolutely BS. And then there's a whole bunch of other people that would say it's absolutely true. It has something that there is something to it. And the only thing that I can say is that there's a whole voice out there that I actually sit on the side of that believes that you can manifest what you're looking for. Now, I'm going to give the example, then I'm going to throw it off to Doc. My manifestation that I always think about when I'm talking about what it means to manifest is imagining what you want and then doing the work to find it and obtain it. When I decided I wanted a dog that could do three things. I wanted a dog that could fit in a plane underneath the seat, a dog that could fit on a bicycle to travel, and a dog that could run 30 kilometers or more in one go. There's only one breed of dog that can do this. It's a Jack Russell Terrier or some sort of Russell Terrier mix. So I got this dog. And I wanted a female dog because I wanted it to be less aggressive in Turkey where there's so many other dogs, so she wouldn't get into fights as often as male dogs. So those were the three things: easy to travel, a bitch, and could run long distance. Man, do I wish that I had also added a fourth, a dog that doesn't shed. So I manifested what I wanted incorrectly. And when we were talking pre-show and talking about astrology, I think it has to do with that. I think if we believe in it, we believe that we can take these signs and guide us. It's more the fact that we're manifesting what we believe to be true and kind of moving towards it than any third point of view coming in and an astrologist or a card reader telling us, hey, the bones or the chicken bones are telling you that you will be successful.
I think there's something to what you just said in that it's kind of a silly notion to believe that the chicken bones or the stars are actually determining our future. Like the idea that a celestial object that we see that is literally like 65 million light years away, or whatever, however far away Scorpio is, has some kind of like the minute feeling of gravitational pull that we feel from that star system. You know, forget about the fact that the only reason it looks like Scorpio is because we are in this one place looking at all of these stars against a flat black background, and so they look like a picture. When in reality, if you took a different vantage point, they wouldn't look like anything at all. You know, completely, like they're like those stars of Scorpio, but they're like literally separated by thousands of light years of space between them. They don't look like anything at all from a different vantage point. Forget that. The idea that figure has any kind of effect on our lives directly is just absolutely ludicrous. And yet we want that. In this case, I'm not really of the manifestation school as much as Dylan is necessarily, but in this case, there is something to that because we want that figure to have some effect on our lives. We want that position of the stars in the sky or the sun within that figure in space to have some effect on our lives. And so we bring that in. We'll take a look at a horoscope and none of the horoscopes ever say anything like, don't turn the lights on today because you'll electrocute yourself. You know, don't operate heavy machinery today. Today's a really bad day for that. You know, they're always like, utilize this day to develop some kind of creative outlet for your life. But you could literally apply that to any day. You know, any day you should use to have a creative outlet in your life. The stars don't have to be in a certain position for you to do that. That's good advice just in general. And so the idea that the lunar eclipse, which is supposedly supposed to portend upheaval and change and illumination of various aspects of your life that you don't usually usually pay attention to, you could see it as the lunar eclipse merely reminding you to do that anyway. You should be doing that all the time. And the lunar eclipse is just an opportunity for you to focus on that.
Yeah, and that's a great example because as you said, that popped into my head, Lent. Ramadan, these holidays in which we're using some sort of the mystic to guide us as to what we're supposed to do in our daily life, in things that we could probably do every day and lead a better life. And the other thing, so 2 points. Number one, again, astrology and all of these things, sorry folks, was based on the flat earth idea that what we were looking up was a canvas. It wasn't designed based on the fact that the universe is this thing that's really, really big and really, really vast and really, really multi-shaped, not a black canvas with pinpricks of light coming through. So you might want to kind of throw that, if we're believing to the point of giving somebody money or lots of money to help guide us through this process. But the other point is, you know, yeah, these minute things, when we buy into something, we buy in. So where Doc said it. He said, "I'm not on the same level of believing in manifestation as Dylan." So he sees manifestation differently than I do. So does somebody who believes in astrology or who believes in the horoscope. They want this to be real, and because they believe it to be real, or they trick themselves if it's not, to believe that it's guiding them. It is guiding them. Because they're allowing this information to come in and point them in a different direction. Much like we would do any religion, much like we would do any political affiliation, much like we would do with any sort of fandom, anything that's connected to having to pick or choose. So when we come back from break, we'll continue discussing manifestation of the lunar eclipse here on Marine and the Hippie, Season 2, Dialogue 14.
I know. Hey, this is Doc with Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Marine, and let me just say, make love, not war. Peace. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Marine and the Hippie. This is Dialogue 14 from Season 2. We're talking about the manifestation of the lunar eclipse, and if you were in the eastern half of North America or the eastern two-thirds of North America last night, you got to see a fantastic total lunar eclipse that began right around sunset and lasted until about 1 or so in the morning, when the shadow of the earth passed in front of the moon, making the moon very dark and very, you know, blood looking. Back in the day, people used to look at lunar eclipses as God being very angry with us, so he's blotting out the light in the sky at night, or whatever the case, whatever their, you know, minds would describe, however they would describe this thing, before they realized that the earth actually had a shadow, and that shadow was passing in front of the moon. I mean, it seems very obvious to me right now, but that's because I understand, you know, how shadows work, and I understand how big the earth is and how far away the moon is and how, you know, penumbras and umbras work, because I have that sort of scientific, you know, background, that sort of like basic education that wasn't available to people back in the Middle Age who believed that God was really mad at them. Dylan?
Not wasn't available. Didn't exist.
Didn't exist for all practical purposes. I mean, the process of the lunar eclipse remains the same, whether it's, you know, 1100 AD or 21 or 20,000, whatever it is, 22, whatever, 2022, whatever the hell year it is. You know, the process remains the same, but I now understand it, you know, from this perspective. The thing is that me understanding it from that perspective leads me to act in a certain way toward the lunar eclipse, which people back in the Middle Ages didn't act. Back in the day, they used to treat it with fear. You know, they used to treat it with trepidation. They used to treat it with, you know, contrition almost. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, how could I fix this? How could I appease the god? Who do I have to burn at the stake to cause the light of the moon to return to the night sky? You know, it's not necessarily that these people were stupid. They had access to things that I don't really understand, like herbal knowledge. I don't really understand herbal knowledge, because I've grown up in a city and never had to go out into the woods and find, you know, tinsfoil or kingsfoil or whatever that's called to make healing potions like they do in Lord of the Rings. But I do understand, you know, how internal combustion engines work, because that was something that they didn't invent back then. But I wonder, like, this goes back to what Dylan was talking about, since our understanding of the world and the belief that we have in the systems that surround us, the understanding that we have that those things necessarily guides our action, how much does that sort of activity play in the political sphere, where we believe that if we vote, for example, and we're one of literally 200 million people voting, that our vote actually makes a real difference. Dylan?
Yeah, that brings up a good question. And the moment you said that, and pre-show when you said it too, it gave me this idea that it's the reason why we should be voting. The reason why we all should be voting is because by taking direct action, we're manifesting what we want. So we're putting into motion something, because no matter what school of thought you are, the only way to get better at something, to learn something, is to take action, is to take the first step. And certainly the voting is one of those things. I mean, this week I heard in West Virginia that only 22% of the population voted. You know, that means that 78% of the population didn't vote, of eligible voters. We're not talking about the whole population. We're just talking about eligible voters not taking action. So whatever problems West Virginia has, a lot of it falls on themselves because they didn't take the action. And manifestation is about taking action. It's about imagining something, but also then taking the action to do the work to find it, as I said, finding the dog that now is by my side and has been for 5 years because I did the work to do that. The problem, though, is that we listen to other people, but we don't kind of look under the hood. So yeah, manifestation is important. The idea of taking action is important, but taking the action that somebody else wants you to is where and when we find problems, is when we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, or that we're going against or not doing. Meaning, I'm going to listen to the astrologer or the mystic or the politician or the religious leader is telling me to take out my credit card and to call this phone number to give them, you know, a monthly payment of $19.99. That's not taking action. That's getting duped. There are two different things. Manifestation is imagining what you want. Getting duped is when a slick salesperson sells you something that because they're a thief.
To go further on that, you know, going back to the political sphere, or, you know, even more in the religious sphere too, but at the same time, you know, when you decide that you're going to vote, and like, this is not a pro-manifestation statement, this is just building off of what Dylan said. When you decide you're going to go vote, you actually often will take the effort to learn something about the thing you're voting on, you know? And if you feel that, you know, gun ownership is very important to you, for example. Let's say you call yourself a Second Amendment person, and really the only thing you know about is gun laws, and that's really all you care about, or whatever the case may be. You're going to actually go out and find the politician that supports your position. You know, you're not going to, like, let's say Joe, you know, Schmo is against guns. You're not going to vote for that guy because you learned that he was against guns and you really care about guns. So in other words, you're actually trying to, maybe not necessarily being successful, but you're actually trying to bring in to effect what you want to see in the government policy, a pro-gun policy. You're trying to elect this person. Now, we'll be right back and we'll talk a little bit more about manifesting the lunar eclipse here on Marine and the Hippie, Season 2, Dialogue Number 14. And we'll be right back after this break.
Hey, this is Dylan with The Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Hippie.
Okay, everybody, you're listening to Marine and the Hippie, Dialogue Number 14 from Season 2. We're talking about manifesting in the lunar eclipse, and we started talking about astrology, and we moved on to politics pretty quick. One thing that I'll say about that is, one thing we notice in political science is we ask the question, the conundrum that Dylan raised in the last segment of why should we vote? Why should we vote? We should vote because we're manifesting the things we want to happen, but there's all kinds of pressure on the other side that kind of push us away from voting. Like, for example, we put voting times in the middle of the week on Tuesday when people work. A lot of working people can't get off work. And by the time they do get off work, everybody else is getting off work at the same time. They're sitting in line for 2 hours waiting for the opportunity to go vote when they could be at home feeding their kids, for example. I mean, there's just simple, you know, basic practical pressures on people to not vote. Plus, if we think that our one vote, when mixed in with all the other, you know, 10,000 votes in our precinct, won't actually make a real difference. We are not going to ever be the deciding vote in anything. There's that pressure to not vote. And so, you know, perhaps, we experience this pressure and we actually then get dissuaded from voting. We get dissuaded from manifesting what we want. Dylan?
The irony of it is going back to the first segment. The irony is the fact that what you said about the distance Pisces,
Sagittarius,
Scorpio,
yeah, whatever.
One of a star. You're willing. So many people who don't vote are willing to believe that little thing is guiding their life, but they're not willing to do the little action that could guide their life. And that's a challenge. That's where I see. Well, there's some other dude out there who's doing a really good job at getting you to pull the rug over your eyes and not take the action, not do that little thing, that little movement, that little bit, because you're too small. Well, if you're too small, or you believe that your voice is not going to be heard by voting, but you're believing in something that's as distant and as far off as, you know, a star system, guiding the forces of your life from 65 million miles away, you've been duped. Your brain has been stolen from you. I'm sorry. You should go find it and get it back.
And not only that, it's a very, very obvious fact that in the society where working people are constrained with the inability to go vote because of time and having to work and everything, you better believe the elite aren't so constrained. So the elite are actually out there, the people that are telling you that you don't really make a difference, they're out there actually voting. And they're actually out there paying politicians to do what they want from the political system in the country. I'll clean that up. And so, hang on a second. And if they're out there doing that, their voice is overrepresented in the outcome, where the working class is underrepresented.
And those same people are smart enough to see that there are other systems that work better that get 90% or 95% of the voting population outvoting. So they're not unaware of systems that are working better, like, let's say, in Turkey and in France and in Poland, where you have 90% plus of the eligible voters voting. 22% is a ridiculously low number. That's by design. It's by design. You've been duped. Stand up. Fight. Speak out. Tell them that you want to vote on Saturday, Friday. Make it a holiday. In most countries, it's a national holiday. You go vote. Make sure that it's electronic. Why? So you can click it. Something. But the fact that, as Doc said, they're making it hard for 78% of the people to vote in West Virginia is by design, so that the elite and the people who support the voice of the elite, or however they're wrangling it, to connive you, to cheat you, to lie to you, are overrepresented, so they win. Period. Fact, Jack. So learn some facts. Learn some facts. The sky's not a blanket. It's a big freaking thing that's huge. 65 million light years. Think about that. And you think that's controlling, that's affecting your life more than your ability as a citizen to go cast your vote?
The last thing I'll say on this, and I should have given this disclaimer at the very beginning. I am of the personal impression that the system is so far broken, so corrupted, that voting ain't going to resolve the problem. But on the other hand, we don't have a revolution going right now in this country. And we should, but we don't. And Thomas Jefferson very wisely, I think, said that political sentiments were like muscles. You have to work them out. If you don't work them out, they atrophy. And then you forget what it's like to actually be an active political participant in your society. And so while Dylan might argue that, you know, voting will actually manifest what you want to happen in society, and there is something to that argument, I'll say that the reason you should vote is just to stay in practice. It's like lifting a barbell or lifting a dumbbell. It's not going to make you strong, but it's going to keep you toned. You know, you're not going to become Lou Ferrigno. Forgive my antiquated reference, but you're not going to become Lou Ferrigno from lifting dumbbells. But it's going to keep you toned so that when you do need to use your political muscles, when we do have a revolution, you won't be some ball of mush sitting on your couch, you know, too exhausted to even get up. So, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, I'll join Dylan and say go vote, because it'll actually keep you healthy, you know, politically speaking. Whether or not it actually has any effect or not, it'll actually do something for you by keeping you politically healthy.
And it's manifesting. So if you do it, your friends do it, everybody does it, then, you know, suddenly you can get a wave going. Not a blue wave, a green wave, but
or
but
red
that's
wave.
The idea. Yeah. Or a red wave or a yellow wave. How about a rainbow wave? You know, rainbow of color voting. Because if everybody votes, then at least then, at the very least, if everybody votes, 90% or above of the population is voting, eligible population is voting, at least then, at the very least, you have a clear idea of really what the voices on the ground are saying. And is that a total eclipse of the system? I don't know. We'd have to manifest it and try it out. So thanks for listening to The Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Hippie signing off on Season 2, Dialogue 14, The Manifestation of the Lunar Eclipse. Au revoir. A bientôt.
I am the Marine, also signing off with a simple goodbye. Peace. Hey, this is Doc.
And this is Dylan.
And you're listening to Marine and the Hippie. For more information on the Marine, follow Doc at Supernova_Earth on Twitter and listen to the Supernova Earth Show on Spotify. For more information on the Hippie, follow Dylan at GeziandMe on Twitter and read his blog at observationsfromthespectrum.org.